Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Maybe I'm crazy, but golf is not good without Tiger Woods.
Correct.
Thank you. I agree with myself.
Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm not.
Welcome to the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast. I'm Joy Taylor. It's Brandon Newman.
Hi, lying.
Brandon is still wearing his talisman. I think it's time to explain it.
Well, can we talk about?
I should be wearing the talisman. Okay. Where is this talisman?
Listen, this is, I've been rocking this since I found it. I was cleaning up. I found it. I made this back in 2015.
Like, does it transport you to Jumanji?
No, it does. It does give me powers of insomnia. So
it's just, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You don't make your own jewelry?
No, not since I was 10.
Ah.
But I feel you, you know, arts and crafts. Yeah. Anyway, Ty Law joins us today, 3-time Super Bowl champion, who I used to very much despise, but now is family.
He's really great.
Yes, great, and and we talk. He was a great football player. He's a great Hall of Fame finalist, and we'll get in. we got to talk about Tiger.
Yes.
Tiger's back.
Again.
The Browns, obviously, because Cleveland can't get the out of my life. And
yay,
speaking
Browns.
Of Hall of Fame,
yes.
Barry Bonds. Isaiah Thomas is back at it again.
Another hit, Barry Bonds.
Kelvin and Cam, the beef continues.
Yes.
Lots of stuff today. And Nicki Minaj has a new album, which we will discuss.
Got to.
But let's start with Ty Law.
Let's do it.
All right. Ty Law is joining us.
Hey,
Super Bowl champion
up?
Several
yes,
times
sir.
Over. I used to not like you very much, actually.
I know I played against your brother, but I should get a little bit of love. We from Pennsylvania. We from Pittsburgh.
Yes, Aliquippa.
Okay. Aliquippa, yes.
Absolutely. I feel that.
Yeah, I'm going there this weekend, actually. My niece is getting married. Shout out to Mariah and Ethan.
Okay, yay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Get a little Taylor family get down. But yeah, I did not like you for a long time.
AFC East.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was a difficult time.
But Jason always got his, though. I mean, I know you was going for the Dolphins, but Jason always played well, so, you know.
Yes, he did.
True.
He did. And now...
Congratulations. That's my man, Hall of Fame. My neighbor, too. I live down there in Hawks Landing.
Yes,
so.
Oh, wow. Yes. Yeah, so, you know, we're kind of family.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Sure.
But we would be a little more family if I could have got me a little... cappuccino
you need
and all that.
Yeah,
see,
yeah,
you know I'm against because I got water.
Listen,
I got water.
Ty, you just all you gotta do is ask. You know, that's
okay.
We'll
the
definitely
one thing
take
I have
care
over
of you.
Ty Law.
While we have that, maybe send that over to someone. Get coffee. Now, getting coffee is an interesting thing around here, but we'll try to get it done.
All
that's
right.
Another story for another time. Anyway, so speaking of the Patriots. They're kind of a little interesting this year. Like they're going to be in the playoffs because the Dolphins, and the Bills and the Jets. So
yeah.
They're going to be in the playoffs. But it feels different this year based off of everything that just happened in the Super Bowl. I think that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are in a functioning relationship right now. So they're kind of like...
Fair to say.
They're co-parenting, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
That's my belief on it. Some would argue it's just like a long marriage and they've just decided they both have the same goals. Whatever. However you want to look at it. I feel like there's a genuine rift there between the two of them, and they're choosing to just function together.
I don't think it's that deep what people make it out to be. I think if you're in a relationship with anybody, your friend, your wife, your coach, for 18 years, you're bound to have some differences somewhere along the line.
For sure.
Then you have egos that play into it, but as long as you share the common goal, like a marriage, you know what I mean? We're going to make it last. They're going to make it work. I don't think anybody's going to get a divorce anytime soon, which people want to blow it all up over, especially over the whole Jimmy Garoppolo thing.
Right.
They're not going to spoil the relationship and all the things they accomplish over a quarterback that was supposed to be the next one. You know what I mean? Because you got Tom Brady in the sixth round. You can go find you. I'm not saying that you can go find another one, but
thank you for not saying that.
Yeah,
no.
Yes,
I'm not going to say that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Guess what? There's plenty of other Jimmy Garoppolos out there. Probably you're not going to find another Tom Brady. But if Tom Brady wants to play, Joy, would you as a GM? Would you sit him down? Would you
sit there
and trade him?
No, but I would also not have handled the Jimmy Garoppolo situation the way that they did. at all, like from jump. You need someone to replace Tom Brady. Tom Brady's not going to play.
Oh, no. Somebody has to replace him. But what about Jimmy Garoppolo? Has he said anything? Because guess what? He wanted more money. Do you think, as a competitor, does he want to sit behind Tom Brady till Tom Brady figures out if he wants to play or retire? No, I want to get an opportunity to go play. I've been behind the guy, the best in the game. I've learned from him. So if I got an opportunity to make big bucks and have my own team, let me go.
Oh, I don't knock Jimmy. Like, no, Jimmy made the right move. And but it's kind of inexplicable what Belichick traded him for. Like, he was forced to trade him. That is pretty obvious that he was forced
to trade him. What round did Jimmy Garoppolo go in?
What, the third round?
Third, I believe.
And they got what? Second. A second, right? So obviously
he did that.
Obviously he got a little upgrade because guess what? He only played so many games. Yes, he's undefeated. And I like Jimmy Garoppolo. He's undefeated right now. Awesome.
I'm imagining only undefeated starting quarterback in the NFL. That sounds like a gut data fact, but it feels right. Yeah. I'm going to make a prediction that Jimmy G is going to eventually lose a game.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hot take, Arita?
Hot take.
I agree with you on that one. I bet with you on that one.
The reason why.
Sorry, very quick update. Please. Jimmy G, actually a second round pick.
Ooh, okay.
So, in fact,
so you got the same thing. You got a second round pick. So obviously, they thought that they can get another one in the second round.
Okay. But when does this expiration date happen with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick? We're talking about it as if it's a marriage. Jimmy G was important because we knew that relationship could possibly end. The riffs are getting thrown out there because we see the end of the career of Tom Brady. When does this marriage end?
But how do you know if the end of the career for Tom Brady, how do you know Coach Belichick isn't going to walk out the door with him? We don't know that.
I mean, he should, but I don't think fans deserve more.
I don't
more.
Think he should. If he's
why shouldn't he?
Because he doesn't have to go physically put his body on the line the way that Tom Brady is. Like, Tom Brady's going to retire when his body says it's a wrap, son. That's when he's retiring. Okay, like, yes. Belichick doesn't.
He ain't a spring chicken
that.
Either, that's though, Joe.
Yeah. Belichick?
Belichick.
Yeah.
It's about bowing out. It's bowing out. Right. Bowing out.
But he has
those
evil
away.
Powers.
But I think,
like,
both of them,
you know,
if they both walked away from the game today, I think they're both going down as the GOAT in their respective positions. Bill Belichick being the greatest head coach, Tom Brady being the best quarterback, football player, period. It ain't even a debate anymore.
And the best coach player.
Right. Exactly. So they're going down, and they made all this history. So, you know, even if Jimmy Garoppolo stayed, do you really think that he would be Tom Brady?
No.
He would accomplish those feats?
I think he would carry the team moving forward.
Right.
Let's go to a team that's the opposite of the Patriots, which is the Browns. So we're big Baker Mayfield fans around here.
We are.
Why?
For one, because I like interesting. We are in the content business. Okay. So someone who provides consistent content is what we're friends of.
He do that.
Yes, he does do that.
No, I'm not saying that he's a bad player or anything.
No,
I'm just asking why.
Right. Yeah. So also I support the cocky athlete.
Right.
I don't like this idea, especially in football, that you're supposed to be this like hat forwards guy with your shirt tucked in and whatever. Like, I don't have a problem with his antics, basically. If he can back it up, be that guy. Like, that's, I think that's why a lot of people have a problem with someone like Cam Newton, because Cam Newton is that extrovert, and he's dabbing and he's doing all that, but then he doesn't want to take the criticism as well as he takes the praise.
Up and down on the field.
Right. Like, and that's what you got to do. If you want to be that guy, then take the criticism, which I feel like Baker has taken up until this point. I feel like he's handled criticism well. So I think they should start Baker Mayfield. I understand why they don't, because Hugh Jackson wants to keep his job. But I feel like they should start Baker Mayfield. I feel like actually all of the rookie quarterbacks that were taken in the first round, with the exception of Lamar Jackson, should be started.
Now, that's a good – I don't agree with that take, but it's a take.
No, I mean, I say Sam Darnold from New York.
Yeah.
Put him out there right now.
Okay.
You know, I think you can hold on with Baker Mayfield because he's a different style of quarterback. He's going to run the ball, and a lot of times – unless you're a Michael Vick, a Lamar Jackson, some of these college quarterbacks think they can come up here and just outrun everybody. Right. This is a different ball game. This is NFL. Everybody can run. You know what I mean? So you might get your block knocked off a little bit. So you got to learn how to slide. He's not as athletic as a Cam
Newton.
But he's accurate.
He's accurate,
Absolutely, but he has to have somebody to protect him. I'm saying mm-hmm. that out of all the quarterbacks that went in the first round, just piggybacking off of what you said, I think Sam Darnold makes the most sense as far as throwing him in right away. Mm-hmm. You probably don't have to do that, you know, in Cleveland, but eventually you're going to have to put him in because he's the going to be the face of your franchise, you know what I mean? But you don't have to do it right away.
Right, so that's kind of the pushback that everybody's giving when I say this, but I don't feel like you get better at something by watching other people do it. I do understand it's a big learning curve going from college to the mm-hmm. NFL. Mm-hmm. You know, the playbooks, there's learning how to be a pro, it's a different schedule, there's more responsibilities, all kinds of different things.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different world. I'm not comparing the two. But this whole idea that you can take someone number one overall and they're not ready to play, to me, like, okay, you're just admitting you whiffed on that pick. That's what you're saying to me. If you have your pick of any you have Tyrod Taylor, who's a proven quarterback.
That's what
right?
I'm saying.
You're saying he's your starter. So if you feel like Baker's not ready to play right now, why would you take him number one overall? Like, why wouldn't you take someone else that's going to help build your team for the future? Right. And maybe in 2 years down the road, because Tyrod could start for 2 years, there's a better quarterback that's going to come out. So to me, the number one overall pick has to be ready to play. He's got to be ready to play.
That's not his decision, though, either.
Right. And then
I'm not saying
then
it is Baker's decision. I'm sure if you ask Baker, he would tell you he's ready to play.
Oh, yeah. Of course, as a competitor, he's going to be ready to play. But I like to look at this situation compared to like a Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers situation where they were playing behind, let them sit and learn behind Drew Bledsoe, who was an established, you know, all pro at the time. Aaron Rodgers, learn how to be a professional. They brought you in to eventually replace Brett Favre. You know, that's the legend.
Yeah,
you know,
but
so you can learn.
No,
but these guys,
Tyrod,
don't,
like, he's not Brett Favre.
I mean, true that, but he does have more experience than the guys that Sam Darnold is sitting behind. You know what I mean?
Sam Darnold should be starting, no question.
He should be starting, so I don't even know if there's debate, but I think you can hold off on Baker Mayfield a little bit just because of Tyrod Taylor and the things he's proven that he's able to do.
And there's no downside
to
letting him sit.
Right.
No downside. They're going to win their games.
Other than he's not going to be getting any football experience, which is the downside. So I would say there is
getting a whole year of what it's like to be on an NFL roster without the pressure of having to win games.
Here's a huge spoiler. He's not going to get a whole year because he is going to start a game for the Browns.
Oh, no, he's going to start a game because they are just waiting. It's going to be so much pressure on Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
If he does not perform fast in the first 4 or 5 games, guess what? What do we got to lose? Let's put Baker in there.
He got benched last year.
Exactly. So he's going to get his reps, but I'm saying the first game of the season, I don't think it makes a difference for him either way.
So what do you think of the new helmet rule? I hate it. I get it, but I hate it. And I it's not that I hate it because I'm like, oh, they're ruining football, so let me touch football. I just think it's unfair to defensive players. I don't know how the helmet to helmet rule that they changed that you can be suspended and you know you're not allowed to hit your head down, like
lower
it's
your head.
No lowering your head when you
they decide what type of how the violence of the hit.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot at the discretion of the refs.
You know what? I really truly believe that I probably couldn't play in today's game the way I approached the game and played in the way I was taught. But this is football, and I understand them trying to protect the players, especially when you're in defenseless positions. Mm-hmm. But this game ain't for sissies.
They changed the rules because of you almost. Like the 5 yards that they have to enforce.
And the game is being watered down a lot. You know, people – we want to protect our players, you know what I mean? But at the same time, people come to see the collisions. You know, they let hockey fight. You know, they just cleared out and let them go at it. But this is a game. This is a warrior sport. You got to be tough-minded. You got to be tough-willed. And you got to understand what you're signing up for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The fans know that, hey, somebody can possibly get hurt going across the middle, but yet we want to see it.
I tell you what.
Hell, I want to see it.
It's more dangerous. You know? Sometimes it's more dangerous. You notice as a player trying to pull up on somebody versus finishing your football move all the way through.
And that's what's going to get somebody hurt.
Right. I just feel like the game, I understand it. And Ryan Shazier messed a lot of people up because that was kind of what the genesis of this rule is.
A conversation going into the season.
Right.
And then
but to
it's
me,
very unfortunate.
Right.
I just think the game is too fast to have people going full speed at someone and then all of a sudden they see someone's heads down. Like, how do you make that adjustment? Like, right. physically, how do you make the adjustment? And I'd hate to see games decided on split-second decisions like that. Like, it's a collision sport. I don't know how much... You're going to start over-regulating it. It's not right. about, like, I'm fully for making it safer, as safe as you can, but at the end of the day, the essence of it is you hit each other.
Right.
At full yeah. speed.
I think
the giant humans running full speed into each other. Like, right. how do you control that?
And it's changing the outcome of games, especially right. on those... deep balls going across me. You have defensive backs that, you know, everything is moving so fast. The ball comes. You're looking. My job is to dislodge you from the ball. If you mm-hmm. touch it, my job is to hit you. If I go there and hold up and he catches the ball, now we're on the highlights, right. you know, all day,
mm-hmm.
you know, being soft or getting called everything and you blew the game.
Right.
And we let him go run for a touchdown. So it's not very clear of what they're asking to do, because the game moves entirely too fast, like you said, for you to be able to stop, say, wait, catch the ball, now pick right. up and go again. Yeah. It's just not fair to the defender.
Well, you're saying it's changing the trajectory of the game. It's just changing the trajectory of certain people's careers. I right. mean, you're yeah. looking at...
No, I mean, Roquan Smith held out, the rookie for yes, the Bears, exactly. he held out. He signed today. He held out through a lot of training camp
yeah.
Just because he wanted his guaranteed money to not be affected by if he gets suspended for these hits, which I think a lot of rookies are going to do moving forward, and I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Why would you want your money messed up because a ref decides that mm-hmm. in a split moment that you should be kicked out of a game for a helmet hit?
Yeah.
So it's already affecting people.
They're going to be like, oh, this guy has X amount of yards for illegal hits when this guy just has a nose for the ball and is trying to play the best version of football that he learned to play up to this point.
Defensive players are just going to have to adjust. So another big story over the last couple weeks, obviously the Hall of Fame, as mm-hmm. you mentioned, Jason, mm-hmm. was T.O.
Mm-hmm.
and him skipping the Hall of Fame ceremonies. And then there was a report mm-hmm. that now the Hall of Fame is going to ask people to make sure that they can be there, which I think is ridiculous. But what was your reaction when you found out that T.O. was going to skip the ceremony, and what did you think of all of it?
You know what? I was like, one, I want to say that being in the room as a finalist, you know, right. with Jason mm-hmm. and T.O., I get where T.O. is coming from, because he should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. Hell, if I had a vote and I'm in the room with him, he right. would have gotten mine. He mm-hmm. deserved to be in the first ballot. But there's a lot of guys that may have thought that or should have been as well. It is a long, hard process to get into the Hall of Fame. And I just think that, you know, I applaud him for standing up for what he believes in. You know, I like T.O. I mean, I respect him as a mm-hmm. person and as a player. But I think he went about it the wrong way. And what I mean by that is you have a problem with the media and how they looked at you and how they characterized you as far as didn't putting you in his first ballot. But the way I see it is that you missed out on the opportunity to make your stance on the biggest stage that you could have possibly made. You could have right. said anything that you wanted to, because you had 30 minutes of primetime television whatever right there. So if you wanted to really jump on them and make your point, you could have did it right there. But that's T.O. He's going to do it his way, and I respect it. Mm-hmm. But I also think that if you really step back and think about it, think about the guys that you may be disrespecting that's already in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Right, so that's
where my thing
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that to me was the biggest thing. I don't have a problem. You're a grown man, do whatever you
right,
want.
Right, exactly.
But to me, him doing that, like whether it was his intention or not,
right.
in some way is a little disrespectful to anyone that had Chris Carter, Shannon
right.
Sharp.
Right.
Like, the first ballot, third ballot, fifth ballot, sixth, 20th ballot,
no
you're a
asked.
Hall of Famer.
Exactly.
No one remembers that. You remember it, and I right. understand the experience of having to wait is awful. But you're a Hall of Famer at the end of the day. Like, right. nobody is going to be like, oh, you got it on his third time. No one cares. It's just Hall of Famer T.O.
And in the once-in-a-lifetime experience that if you're fortunate enough to do so and get
right.
into the Hall of Fame,
right.
the gold jacket dinners mm-hmm. and, you know, the whatever initiations that they do when it's just you and your new teammates, you know, he will never be able to capture that again. So I just wish, you know, as a colleague and, you know, a friend, I've, you know, mm-hmm. I've talked to T.O. plenty of times, you know what I mean? Just
yeah.
it's on football, you know what I mean? It's not like we hang out a
right,
lot
right,
or
right.
anything, but we've been in the same circles, you know, plenty of times. I just wish he would have stepped back and thought about a little bit more and thought about the Shannon Sharps, the Chris Carters, those guys. You know, it's one guy, you know, was it 35 years that he waited? Yeah. You know, that's a long time. Robert Brazil. Robert Brazil. I mean, Lynn Swann. Mm. And I know that you were the elite of the elite, you know, but it's a lot of guys that had to sit and wait, but
they're
you
all missed out on a great opportunity. It's the Hall of Fame.
Exactly. It's only 318, you know, people in there.
Wrong
exactly.
time they're to bring the ego into that team.
Right. Well, thanks so much for coming on with us. We appreciate it. I'm glad I've forgiven you for this.
All right. I appreciate it.
It's for me. Forgiveness is for you. It's not for them. It's for you. Right. You know? I needed to let that grudge go. But we appreciate it. I mean, he's the winner. He's got the ring, so it's fine. But appreciate you coming on, Ty.
All right. Thanks for having me.
I wanted to talk about another podcast we do over at Fox Sports, and that's Chris Broussard's In the Zone. Each week, Chris breaks down what's trending in the NBA with the biggest names in the league. Previous guests include Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Shaq, John Wall, and everyone's favorite, Lonzo and LeVar. So, if you love the NBA, make sure you subscribe to the In the Zone podcast wherever you get your podcasts. All right, what am I winning or quitting today?
Okay, Tiger Woods is the most fascinating loser in history of golf. The PGA Championship saw a 69% ratings increase last year over last year's tournament coverage, all because Tiger was putting and driving his way into second place finish. The golfing community is extra thirsty already, predicting Tiger's next major championship. Joy. Golf needs Tiger Woods more than Tiger Woods needs golf. Wit it or quit it.
Ooh, that's an interesting question. I am going to wit it because Tiger has a lot of money.
Yes.
And he can do lots of things with the rest of his life if he chose to walk away from golf. I don't know, more Navy SEAL training.
Just go be Tiger elsewhere.
Just go
quietly.
Be Tiger Woods somewhere else.
Yeah.
Away from the golf course. Mm-hmm. But yeah, golf really needs Tiger Woods. And everyone was losing their tops over this PGA championship, which, by the way, Brooks Koepka won. He's very good. Very good golfer.
Yes.
And Tiger Woods did not win. But you would literally have thought Tiger won. In fact, full disclosure, I found out we were leading the herd on Monday morning with Tiger, and I had to ask my producer Ashley, am I stupid? Like, did Tiger win?
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure
he didn't win. So what happens? Did I miss that? I thought he lost.
Tiger getting close to winning is news.
Okay. Yes. All right. I am not saying that this isn't news.
Of course.
I'm not saying it wasn't an exciting watch.
Of course.
I'm not saying that if you're a Tiger fan, you can be encouraged.
Yes.
All I'm saying is if you're not first, you're fucking last. All right. And that's just the truth because Ricky Bobby said it. Okay.
Shouts out.
Ricky Bobby's dad said it.
His dad said it. Yeah,
but,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
dads
yeah.
are important.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Here's the thing about Tiger Woods.
Yes.
First of all, shout out to Nike. Huge winners.
Oh my gosh.
Huge winners, Nike. I mean, and you know what? I'm with Nike, and that's why I wear Nike a lot.
Really?
Other than the fact that I've always worn Nike.
You're endorsing Nike right now.
Yeah,
on this podcast.
I wear some Adidas too, but mostly
Adidas.
Nike and
New Balances.
Nike never dropped Tiger, right?
No.
They never dropped Tiger.
No.
But you know who did drop Tiger? Golf.
They
golf
tried.
Dropped Tiger, which is why I find this whole situation to be so pathetic. And I'm just going to be the one that says it because everyone's like, oh, it's so beautiful, this Tiger comeback. Tiger's back. It's so exciting. I can't believe it. I've been waiting for this for 10 years. And it's such an amazing story. Like, fuck that story, man. This Tiger Woods situation has always bothered me from the jump. You didn't have to throw Tiger away. I never threw Tiger away, so I feel like I could say whatever I want.
Now, okay. Now, you're referring to throwing Tiger away, the Applebee's, like, the infidelity, like,
is that when they disposed
of him?
Okay, that was the start of this. And obviously, I'm aware that Tiger had several major injuries, 4 back surgeries, including a fusion, and he wasn't great to people, which, look, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't really judge people that aren't nice to people when they're famous anymore. I just got to say it. It's very difficult to be Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to be LeBron James. That's why LeBron James is so incredible. Because you can't imagine how annoying people are to LeBron James all day long. And he's got to be nice all the time. Yeah. You don't do anything, and you're horrible to people. How? Imagine if every second of your life someone was asking something from you. You're already a mean, terrible person listening to me right now. I'm sure you're great. But like, there's lots of terrible people out there who are terrible for no reason, and they're right. not famous and super rich.
Right.
So do I say it's okay for Tiger to be mean to people? No, but I can't judge every situation off of what happens. Like, there's two sides to every story with the whole, like, he's not good to people thing. Okay? Now, his wife, yeah, pretty sure that's clear, all right?
Right.
Pretty much confirmed okay. that he didn't handle that situation right. well. But here's the bottom line with that. This whole idea, every time that comes up, it's like, oh, well, why did Tiger get thrown under the bus for that? Well, because we thought, you know, he just lied to us. We thought he was this great husband and father, and it turns out it was a lie.
Didn't I tell you that?
Who said that? Who yeah. said when did Tiger? Did I miss that press conference? Where Tiger's like, I am the perfect father and husband, and I endorse milk. Like,
you were almost there with the Tiger impression, by the way.
So close, right?
Yeah, yeah. You had a little
for shizzle.
Yes, completely.
No one said that, no, right? You no. assumed that he was a good father and a good husband.
Yes.
I don't care if he's a good father, a good husband. He's not my husband. He's not my daddy. Okay.
I don't
need to put him on this pedestal. Is he killing people? Is he assaulting people?
On the green, he
okay,
is.
Okay, yes. Okay, exactly. Which is why they right. loved it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden, he's not this perfect idol that people created him to be
yeah.
and built him up to be. Now all of a sudden, be done with him. Well, yeah, except for that's your whole sport. Literally. Mm. It went up 69%.
That's a lot.
That's impossible, actually. It is yeah. impossible to do that. One person, not even one person winning, one person playing good.
He's playing well, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he was just playing well. And it was everything. He was number one trending topic in sport. Period. Sometimes it's Trump. When Tiger was winning, it was Tiger.
Right.
And he didn't even win.
Right.
Right.
And I just find the entire sport to be so hypocritical with this build up Tiger thing.
Very true.
Like, nobody had to throw him away in the first place. All right. Yeah. Like, people make mistakes. I get it. It's not a good look. None of it is excusable. Like, fine. But this whole like Tiger's back thing gets on my nerves. Like, don't pretend for one second like you ever thought that you were going to just replace Tiger Woods.
Okay.
He is golf.
Okay, he's now, but I would say this to add to the Tiger hype fire or whatever, he's now about to be in the position to possibly pass Jack Nicklaus for 18 major championships.
When was the last time he won a major?
2007.
10 years ago?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. He made more money than any golfer last year at $43 million. Like,
and he should.
And he didn't. And he didn't win last year either. He doesn't need the golf. The golf needs the Tiger. Tiger, I can't get excited. I can't. I don't. Am I supposed to care again? I don't.
Well, that's my thing, right?
Right.
So like, I get the hype. I get everyone being excited. I get the Tiger's back thing, right? I would love to see Tiger win another major. Ultimate comeback story, right?
Right. For all you guys out there.
For all of you that threw him away. Yeah. That's for you, not yeah. for me, because right. I didn't do that.
Yeah.
Right? So this whole idea that like, and we're obsessed with it in culture. We are obsessed with building people up and then destroying them, simmering in their demise.
Yeah.
And then once we've finished.
Yeah.
All right. I suppose you can rise again.
But based on the performance, though.
Not too fast. I need to see that you've changed.
Right.
While I sit over here and eat my boogers. I'm off it. Like, this Kanye is an example of this, right? Like, everyone turned on Kanye until he dropped that album,
yeah,
right?
Because
we've had to deal with Kanye doing this over and over and over and over again.
True.
Okay,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But we didn't really drop Kanye. We really didn't. We tried,
no,
but it didn't really happen.
No.
Right?
He's in the Culture Report today. I mean, what are you going to do?
I'm just saying, it is an option for us to, if someone is not harming another person.
Right.
Okay, in which case I have a difference of opinion.
Right.
But if you're not harming another person or another creature,
yeah.
right? No, not feelings. Not feelings.
No,
I'm not talking about feelings.
I
don't care about your feelings.
Mm.
I don't have no feelings, gang. Okay? We'll get to that later. I don't care about your feelings. I'm talking about physically harming another person.
Right.
If that is not what you're involved with, if you're not doing criminal activity, which Tiger was not, which Kanye is not, perhaps, maybe, we can stop destroying people. It'd be cool. It'd be a nice thing to do.
It's not as fun, but yeah, people should try it.
It's much more work to be negative than it is to be positive. If you just try it.
It's harder to be negative than positive?
I mean, naturally, don't you want to be happy? Isn't that what everyone in life is looking for?
Seem like that's the purpose where it of is life now. To be like, happy. Seems like the wave is like hating and being negative.
Yeah, but if you just try to not, like, if you just exist, like, the whole purpose of life is like to find the meaning of life, right? Like, you want to be happy. Like, right, you wake right. up in the morning, like, I would love this to be a shit day. I would like everyone to be horrible and bad things to happen. Right. That to me, that is not natural.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just me.
Online is different. Online is different.
That's true. It's like a parallel universe. Mm-hmm. All right, what's next?
Okay. Every season, there are teams that we have to care about.
Right.
The Patriots, the Cowboys, the Packers. Then there are teams we actually care about. The Ravens for me, the Dolphins for you, and the Browns for sports fans because everybody loves an underdog. Joy. This year, the Browns are the most interesting team in football. Wit it or quit it.
I am witting this. I do think that the Browns are the most interesting team in football.
Yeah, you should because it's your take.
It's what?
It's your take, so it should be.
Yes, yeah, it is. Yes, I created this. Yeah. But I think there's legit reasons, though,
yeah,
that
for
they're
sure.
the most interesting. Like, not because they're going to be good, mm-hmm. which, you know, is kind of the conflict that I have with
it, right?
They're
not going to not be good.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure they're not going to be good. Like, what's good, right? Is it like Tiger Woods good? Second place?
No, they're not going to be that good. They're not going to be Tiger Woods good.
Are we celebrating mediocrity again? Like
For the Browns, yes, we are. Okay. It's Cleveland.
Okay, yeah. Correct. Yes. So that's my point.
Okay.
So, like, I don't want to, like, we're not going to do a Cleveland's back thing.
I would enjoy a nice Cleveland's back narrative.
Mm, no.
Okay.
They won 0 games last year, for anyone who forgot. And they went 1-15 the year before. So they did a lot of losing in the past 2 years.
Yes.
And just Jackson. In general in their existence.
Yes.
However, they've got Hugh Jackson, definitely on the hot seat. Mm-hmm. I love that cliche.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Baker Mayfield, number one overall pick. Huge polarizing figure. Tyrod Taylor, who broke the longest playoff drought in NFL history with the Bills, which is impressive, who's going to start and have to play perfect. Jarvis Landry.
I mean, juice. He's out there.
Dez can possibly be there.
I would love for him to get on that roster.
We don't know what's happening with Josh Gordon.
He'll be back eventually.
And maybe. And they're in a division that, I mean, outside the Steelers, kind of don't know what you're going to get.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, we don't know what we're going to get with the Steelers. We don't know what we're going to get with the Steelers.
Here's a reveal. Barring some catastrophic situation, which I won't even speak about,
right.
They're going to be good.
Okay.
I've got an insider there. They're going to be a good team.
Okay. You heard it first.
Yes. You heard it from me. The Steelers are going to be good this year.
Yeah.
So, but there's other teams that are interesting.
Yeah.
But I just feel like the Browns have Hard Knocks too. Like, we're going to know more about this team.
Can't wait
because
to watch
of that.
It
so I just feel like they are the team. I'm obviously uncharacteristically interested in the Browns this year.
I think everyone is, and that's what's scary.
It is scary because they're not, like I said, they're not going to win anything. The Rams have huge names.
Right.
Right. So that then they have high expectations, obviously. Mm-hmm. We're going to want to see what happens with the Patriots and Tom Brady and Belichick and having no receivers whatsoever and Julian Edelman being out for 4 games.
Yeah.
All of the other rookie quarterbacks like Josh Rosen, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Well, he's not a rookie, but I mean, like, this is his year. Like, Patrick Mahomes, Sam Darnold, mm-hmm. Saquon Barkley. Like, there's all these great different storylines. The Raiders, obviously, are going to be something to watch. But we're kind of all watching them to see if they're going to be a dumpster fire or not. Like, the Rams are the only team that you're watching, like, how good can they be?
Yeah,
everyone else, even the Cowboys. Like, you don't know what to expect from any of these teams.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to the Rams game when the Cardinals come here and play.
Oh, you're going to a football game, huh?
Yeah, when they come here and play, whatever.
That's nice.
I'm more excited to see Josh Rosen in September than I, like, because the Rams, they're going to get it figured out and they're going to catch their steam in the back half of the season. But there's a bunch of other storylines out there that are on much more interesting on paper. The Browns are just, I mean, I'm going to read a Browns article every week this year. I'm definitely going to read a
Browns
article.
They're high-level content.
Yeah.
The other teams are interesting because we don't know what to expect or, you know, how good are they possibly going to be. The Eagles.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers is back. Deshaun Watson is back. J.J. Watt is back. Like, there's all these different things to watch. I just feel like the simmering dysfunction mm-hmm. in Cleveland with this all of a sudden expectation to go from winning one game in the last 2 years to, you know, winning 6.
That's what the word is.
But it's
word
interesting. I don't know. I can't help it. All right, what's next?
It might be an indictment on the football season as a whole that the Browns are most interesting, actually. I'm not going to get back into it, but it's something. Okay. The home run king, Barry Lamar Bonds, is still not in Baseball Hall of Fame, despite never being found guilty for any steroid use. Mm-hmm. Last week, the San Francisco Giants retired Bonds' jersey with the help of his godfather, Willie Mays. During the ceremony, Mays said, "On behalf of all the people from San Francisco and all over the country, vote this guy in." Joy, the Baseball Hall of Fame isn't recognized by the culture until Barry Bonds is inducted. With it or quit it. Come on now.
Yeah, I can with that because yes. Barry Bonds is, I mean, arguably the greatest baseball player of all time.
Yes.
And it's nonsense that he's not in the Hall of Fame. And here's the thing about the Baseball Hall of Fame. I mean, just get over yourselves. Get over yourselves. Every single year, this is I'll walk you through the beats of the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's time to announce who's going to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame this year. Let's talk about baseball writers for a week. Sweet. Oh, let's talk about all the people that they are still not in the Hall of Fame because the baseball writers decided that they are like they're like scribes or something. They really should cast their vote in like robes with giant hoodies,
cloaks. Shout out last episode.
I mean, it's like with like walking canes that have like orbs on them.
I thought you were doing lanterns.
Lanterns would be good too. Like they just like walk into this like hallowed like building, dim lighting, candles everywhere.
Yeah.
It's low humming.
Secret society. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We can go on with this forever. The point is some incense. The point is I just don't care about the baseball writers. I don't care about the baseball writers. Right. Put Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame. Like Willie Mays is completely right. He should. Everyone is right. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I understand Barry Bonds was an asshole to the media. Okay, get over yourselves. People are mean sometimes. It happens.
I mean,
it's honestly. I get the steroids thing. But if you're going to do that, then just clip off that part of baseball's history and don't let anyone in because the pitchers were using steroids too. It's not all about the hitters.
Yeah.
I'm so f***ing tired of hearing about this shit. Just put them in or don't, or just eliminate that part from baseball. I know baseball is this like, this America's pastime. We got to play it the right way. And there's all these unwritten rules and all this bullshit. I'm so over it. I'm so over this situation. Barry Bonds deserves to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. That's it. Just put him in. Be done with it. The Pete Rose thing, while I also very much disagree that Pete Rose shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, Pete Rose should also be in the Hall of Fame. At least the Pete Rose thing is like, okay, you literally cheated your sport.
Right.
Okay. So shunning him for that, right, even though I know he's extremely apologetic and I'm sure regrets it more than anyone has maybe regretted anything in their life. Yeah. Okay.
I think it's in the Reds Hall of Fame.
Okay, but that's not the Baseball Hall of Fame. Okay, like it's nice and that's expected. All right, but they can do whatever they want. All right,
yeah.
So they don't have scribes keeping the hallowed grounds of the Baseball Hall of Fame
at Cincinnati.
Free from your steroid use.
Barry Bonds is the fucking goat.
Yes, it's
Barry Bonds. Equivalent
of keeping Michael Jordan out of the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yes.
It is a complete parallel. I don't want to hear about it anymore. It's crazy. It's really crazy that he is not in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, it's bad enough baseball doesn't have Barry Bonds playing anymore. At least put him in the Hall of Fame. We can't have Barry Bonds. At least put him. Right. I'm against the non-steroids in baseball. Whatever's going to keep the hits coming, whatever's going to keep the home runs, whatever's going to make those family
trips. Make
steroids
in baseball great again.
Amen.
I mean, the best time in baseball to me ever was the Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire home run chase. Like, just the best.
Just that.
So much juice.
Just.
And just.
You can just see it. Ooh, I got juiced up watching.
I'm over it. Hear ye, hear ye. Kelvin Benjamin is petty.
Mm.
Cam Newton's kind of getting sucked into it, but we're going to start with Kelvin Benjamin's. And I won't. So Kelvin Benjamin called out Cam Newton, obviously. We all know that. He said he was not accurate and he should have been he'd have been more successful, he's in a better system,
right.
Which in general I don't have a problem with. I don't like the finger pointing, you know, have a little bit of accountability. It's not like your weight was always completely on point.
Ooh.
I mean, what?
No, it's true. He's a professional.
I'm down lies. No, like, that's your body is your job.
Yeah, ain't nobody shaming. This is his job.
No, that's a thing.
Yeah,
For sure. I don't care what you look like. It's about how you perform.
Yeah.
Anyway, so They played in a preseason game, and Cam came over and asked Kelvin to speak how he feels. You know, he had to see him about something. Yeah. So I didn't like how Kelvin handled it. He kind of like walked away a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought Cam did the right thing. He tried to shake his hand, which is more than I would have done.
I love the way he handled it.
Yeah, I have no problem with it. He should. Here's the thing. If you call out someone publicly, when they see you publicly, if they got something to say, you gotta handle it. You're the one that said it.
Yeah.
You got to back it up. Mm-hmm. Now, if you said it privately and it was like a source said this or whatever, and then somebody wants to get in your face, you can handle it how you want, because maybe you didn't really say it. But we all know Calvin Benjamin really said it.
Yeah.
So then Calvin took another shot at Cam, inexplicably posting this video on Instagram saying that Nathan Peterman is accurate, what are you talking about? It is disrespectful.
Black and black crime.
Cam Newton is an MVP.
Yeah.
He is a great quarterback, despite his accuracy issues or whatever. I know anytime you say anything even remotely negative about Cam Newton, all of Carolinas flip out. Okay.
More north than south.
Yes. But still, like, just calm down. Like, no one's saying Cam Newton's a bad quarterback.
No.
There are things he can improve on. And if you're okay with him never improving, cool. Y'all don't have to ever win a Super Bowl. That ain't going to affect me or anyone else for that matter. But I'd actually like to see Cam Newton win a Super Bowl. I think it would be great for Cam Newton to win a Super Bowl. But the point is, Nathan Peterman's not winning any Super Bowls, and I don't know what Calvin Benjamin's talking about. And then Cam responded with some strange wall metaphor. Basically, what he's trying to say is, like, he needs consistent people who aren't going to change around him.
He kind of likes not changing.
Yeah.
A little shot of his production.
Didn't
catch that one. He's been pretty consistently the same quarterback since he got in the league, and that's his indictment.
No, I mean, that's a thing. The wall thing's kind of a little bit confusing. You can change walls very easily, so that's kind of a little weird. But I get what he's getting after. The bottom line for me is, like, Calvin Benjamin, you're not playing with better quarterbacks now.
No.
Not even remotely comparable. So we're going to see what it's really like, because you're not in a better situation than you were with Cam Newton.
Who are you rooting for to have a better season?
Who? Yeah, Cam.
Exactly.
What did you say? Is that a question?
I mean, I don't know.
I care about the Bills now? I already got the Browns on my plate, okay? I can't handle the Bills also.
I'm going in fantasy football mode, and I like the auto draft, so I feel like Calvin Benjamin is going to be one
you
of the people.
What?
I like the auto draft. It's all about trades, baby. All season long, just looking at the market. Plug and pull.
How's that work out for you?
I've won one league.
I can't even properly process what you just said to me.
Y'all gonna see.
Oof, I guess we will. That is amazing information. Just no prep at all, huh?
It's not prep. It's prep. Prep. You prep by watching the entire landscape. And then when you get what you get, then you start playing your cards. It's like poker.
Literally not how fantasy football works.
I play fantasy football like poker. Every now and then you're going to end up falling in with those four kings. You're like,
Oh, is that how poker works?
Sometimes.
Yeah. All right, so let's start with the lit list.
At the Lit Show. Ooh.
What is lit this week? Carmelo Anthony is officially with the Rockets.
What do we do? Do we congratulate? Like, what's?
Yay! We can finally stop talking about Carmelo's signing with the Rockets because it's finally done. Yes, I know you may be confused because it was assumed that it was done because it was done. It was like when LeBron said he was coming to the Lakers, like, it's done. He's not really like, why? I can't change my mind.
Right. Yes.
So he's going to make a lot of money, not from the Rockets.
Yeah.
Someone else is going to pay him a lot of money. The Rockets are only paying him like $2 million or something. Right. Not a whole lot. But anyway, we're done with that. Again, I think Melo is a perfect fit for the Rockets.
Yes.
I know everyone's talking about like how he doesn't want to come off the bench and stuff. Like not his choice. Not his choice. And I do think I don't like this idea that Carmelo just has no self-awareness. I understand that video of him laughing, but that was last year and it didn't work out so well for him. So
how much has Carmelo Anthony changed in the last 5 years?
I mean, you gotta change eventually, right? Or this is gonna be your reputation for your career. Is that what you want?
I mean, now is the perfect opportunity for him to do so, but I can't say that he has.
Well, look, it's not his choice. It's not his team. He's not LeBron. It's not his team.
He can choose how to react to it.
James Harden, Chris Paul. Yeah, and he can sit on the bench the whole time because they're not paying him any money.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, and fans will really actually be pissed because there's real actual expectations of winning a championship in Houston. So, if you really want to ruin your shit, yeah, pout and make a huge issue out of coming off the bench. But I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's going to be finishing games for them. Mm-hmm. He's there to get buckets, which is what he does. And he's going to help them. He's going to help them. Actually, it's going to help compete with the Warriors because they don't play defense anyway, right? Houston Rockets fans get very excited about this defense thing, but you don't play defense, okay? So just stop, all right? No one cares.
You guys know you don't.
No one plays defense.
You don't care about defense.
No one cares about defense anymore, all right? Literally, the NBA doesn't care about defense. No. So, like, it's not even really that serious.
Best two-way player.
The
Kawhi Leonard.
Exactly. The claw. The best way to beat the Warriors at this point of the Rockets is just try and score more points on them. Because no one can defend Kevin Durant anyway. So you might as well, the best way to stop Kevin Durant is to make him play defense by scoring more points.
But Carmelo had one of his worst offensive years last year. Like, how do we know that he's going to help them score more buckets?
It's a different system.
Okay.
Everybody does better in D'Antoni's system.
Okay.
That's why they're great regular season teams.
They're going to continue to be a great regular season team.
But they are a big three now. So what do we call them?
Do we call them
the Tiger Woodsies?
The Tiger Woodsies. Why would you do that?
I mean, in second place. Like, we're celebrating not winning.
Tiger Woodsies. He's going to win another one by the time it's time to really give those people a nickname. Mm-hmm. Lightning. No. I have nothing for that.
Send us in your suggestions.
Yes.
For the big three in Houston. Yes. Not Rockets fans, because you guys are mean to us.
Can I offer some probably terrible... Actually, I'll say that there are some great suggestions.
I'm going to assume they're all bad. Go.
Okay. I just thought of this one right now. It's really bad.
I'm sure it's bad.
Mello, Paul Harden, MPH, miles per hour. Let's go.
All right, next.
The three ISOs is really the one that I hang my hat on. It's really more it's really more for a Photoshop purposes of them on the three amigos, and then you tried ISOs instead.
Okay.
Yes.
You've made your point.
Houston, we have a problem.
It needs to be like one word.
Yes.
At the most, two. Like, it was the Heatles. That was the name of the big three in Miami.
Mm.
Okay. I mean, rocket power. There's something there, isn't it?
That's what
it
is. Right. So, anyway, the point is...
Help us out, fans. We don't know.
Thank you, crazy. It's a great contribution. Yeah, crazy gang, save us. All right, LiAngelo Ball. So, hey. We were at the JBA Championship in Ontario, California. It was actually a great game.
Yeah, it was very competitive the whole time.
It was a lot of defense, a lot of body slamming going on.
Yes.
LaMelo smacking people for show.
I mean,
a lot of talk. And
those Ball brothers play well together.
Yes, they do.
They play really well together.
I do not like those long baseball passes at all.
That's not going to
fly on the next level for whatever purposes. Now it works, but you can't do that.
Right.
But LiAngelo was balling.
Big baller.
Nope. Unintended. Mm. He had 58 points, like a quiet 58 points.
Right, like we watched and it was like, okay, clearly Melo's getting buckets, but he probably had at least 7 threes.
Yeah. So anyway, congratulations to the JBA on their first season. We're big supporters of that because I feel like people should have options, and I think that the NCAA does not do a great job with their student athletes most of the time. So anyway, LiAngelo balled out. And finally on the list, Idris Elba, James Bond. Not official yet.
It's not official
at all.
But
we're getting closer.
No.
We've been talking about this for like 4 years now.
Yes. Us meaning everyone.
Everyone in the world.
Yes.
Who just wants Idris Elba to be James Bond. So whoever's in charge of the James Bondy picking situation, please just make
it. James Bondy picking situation?
Yes. I just feel like Idris Elba is my number one choice. And then, what is his name?
Daniel Craig?
No.
Sinbad?
No.
What's Sinbad?
50 Cent?
Yeah. No?
I don't know. It'll come
Kate to McKinnon?
Stop.
I would like to see...
I would love a woman to be...
That's what I'm saying. I would like to see, like let's have...
But I don't know who. I don't know who.
I mean, I'm saying if Tiffany Haddish be James Bond, Jane Bond, and then Idris Elba be the love interest, like the first James Bond boy.
Listen, I love... James...
Yeah, Idris Elba is the first James because
Halle Berry, Bond girl. Yeah, I see your point there. I love Tiffany Haddish. We know that, but I need it to be a non-comedian.
I'm sure she can get serious.
I need to be a non-comedian, like I just said.
Like Queen Latifah.
All right, we're moving on. Loser power rankings. Loser power rankings. These are the losers of the week. I really wish I could remember who the other.
Who?
blonde. I can't remember.
The other, oh, Sean Connery.
What? Stop. Mahershala Ali is who I was thinking of.
From
Moonlight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so mad.
Hey, remember that time at the Oscars they gave us the wrong movie? That was amazing.
Will that ever happen?
I would have fought everybody. Everybody got to get punched in the face. You're going to take the whole moment away?
Insane.
I got to fight. Everybody got to get punched.
I just saw Moonlight recently.
I still haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure it's great.
He tells me it's the one for the movie. I'm thinking about the movie.
But he's great. He's the other one that should be Bond.
Yes.
Or Leon. Bring Leon back.
Leon. Where's Leon?
Where is Leon?
Where is he hiding? Somewhere with a goatee. Just sharp.
Tommy Shepard. That. Natural talent.
Yeah.
God, man. Cool. They need to remake that movie.
There's a lot of classic movies that need to be remade.
Remake ASAP. Above the Rim with Kendrick as Tupac.
I was thinking, what's the other one with Tupac? Why am I saying the other one? The other Tupac movie, the big Tupac with Mike Epps, Juice. I want to see Kendrick Tupac Juice. I want to see Kendrick as a bad guy. As a real bad guy.
You don't watch Power, huh?
No.
You didn't see his debut as a crackhead?
No, I heard it was very well received.
He did good.
As a crackhead.
Yeah. All right, anyway, lose the power ranking. So Isaiah Thomas made fun of Cleveland.
Again,
in a social media post. He called it a shithole. I'm not going to give my opinion about that, but whatever. The point is...
You have.
What?
No, everyone...
Everyone knows how I feel about Cleveland. Knows I don't need to
how you feel about that comment.
However, I never played sports there.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, he has no... He's completely in the wrong for doing this. He came out and gave an 100%. Apology, which... Whatever, man, with these apologies. I don't get Isaiah Thomas. Every time he climbs to some level of goodwill, it's like he can't help himself but to say something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, you can't criticize Cleveland and Cleveland fans. If you want to say you had a bad experience with the team,
mm-hmm.
cool.
Yeah.
I'm completely fine with that.
Yes.
But for don't you to just call, like, just don't come for the city. Can't. At one point or another, there were fans there cheering for you.
Right.
You just have a little, just a tiny bit of respect.
I mean, yeah, at this point in time, I wish he would shut up and rehab. He should just shut up and rehab. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't really want to hear from him anymore.
He needs to do something because I keep trying. I keep trying with Isaiah Thomas. Yeah. Like, I actually do have some sympathy for his situation in Boston and him ruining his hip, and now he's on a minimum contract. Ago. But that goodwill is gone. So just stop saying ridiculous things. All right. So the second loser this week are the Sensitive Sallies upset at Aaron Rodgers. So Aaron Rodgers called out his receivers and the piss poor effort, which apparently people are still saying. Listen. I like Aaron Rodgers, and I don't care that he's a curmudgeon. Like he gets a lot of slack for like talking about scotch and wearing sweaters, and you know, not getting along with his family, which is not. I mean, I am not the if I don't get along with you and you're my family, it's just tough. Like I don't talk to you. It's just how I roll. I know everybody doesn't abide by that. It's like blood. You got to deal with them. I do not agree with that. Right, so if you bring trouble into my life, you are gone. I don't care if we share the same DNA.
You're on the elk of you can choose your family if they choose to be acting, you know.
Oh, yeah.
In a detriment.
For sure.
Yes.
It's bye-bye.
Good for you.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. But I don't judge him for that because I don't know what happened with that situation.
Right.
And everybody gets all bothered whenever anyone calls out their teammates. I don't have a problem with Aaron Rodgers saying this publicly. And basically, he's like, they were asking about if, you know, his teammates are upset with him. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I hope we're not that soft. And I agree with him. Like, he's there to win.
Right.
Anyone who knows me professionally knows I'm not the easiest person to work with when it comes to getting done. Because I have stuff to do. And I respect that you have stuff to do, too. So let's both just get the stuff we need to get done.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's not always going to be perfect, myself included. But... We have things to accomplish. Like people get in their feelings. It's not my job to come here and make you feel good every day. I don't get paid to do that because I don't get paid enough to get paid to do that. Okay? So I come here and I... Right. Yeah, like you're a professional. Be a professional.
Right. Yeah.
Come and do your job. And if you're an athlete, all the more so. You have to be able to handle constructive criticism.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it is with people. When they look at professional sports, they're like, oh my God, that is so rude that he would just say that about his teammates. He needs to be a better leader.
I hope no one sounds like that reporting on football.
In my mind, when you're saying stuff like that, that's what you sound like because it's ridiculous. Yeah, like Aaron Rodgers has every right to criticize. If he's, and really all he's saying is, you used to try harder, and now you're not trying hard enough. He didn't say they were terrible.
Well, I thought the most interesting part about the whole thing is the fact that he said that I would hope that my teammates and coaching staff is strong enough to read clips or see something and not react negatively to it, which tells me he is someone who knows exactly how powerful his words are. He knows exactly what he's doing when he puts a statement out talking about his offensive coordinator or his quarterback coach. Like, he said a lot of things in the media that now I'm going back on retroactively and being like, oh, he was sending a message directly. Because some of these guys aren't intuitive enough to know that they're sending direct messages to people when they're saying these things.
Right. I mean, he did low-key call them dumb. But, I mean, you know.
Spade, spade.
Level up, you know. Right. Figure it out. You're a professional athlete. Like, it's just, you got to handle criticism sometimes. Like, it is what it is. I don't have a problem with it. Everyone needs to stop being so sensitive. Get out of your feelings. All right, so speaking of feelings, Jalen Ramsey and Antonio Brown, I don't know what to make of this. I'm usually on the player's side when it comes to, like, when they get upset with media, because I know how annoying we can be.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a fight at training camp, which is nothing. Right. It's fights almost every day at every training camp across the country. Right. Not a surprise. It's hot. People are bothered. They're trying to make the team. Emotions are high. There's always fights. It usually doesn't matter unless you flip out and blindside somebody and then you can potentially get cut. Right. But Jalen Ramsey was involved in a fight at training camp and he decided to go at a media member who tweeted out the video of the fight, which is insane to me. Like, I can't.
Really?
What do you it's open training camp. First of all, he's not the only guy who has a video of this. Right. There's also team cameras everywhere because they record all this stuff for content.
Everything. Yes.
Not to mention, it's open training camp. There's fans there. Everyone has phones. Like,
yes.
Everyone there has a cell phone that I guarantee has a camera.
Waiting for him to fight someone.
But it's not even that. Like, not even, like, that's news locally.
Right.
It's always local news, like, oh, so-and-so got in a fight at training camp, because everyone's waiting for any news from training camp. Right. So that's news. Like, nationally, I don't care if Jaguars training camp fight. Who cares? Anyone get hurt? No. Who cares?
Okay.
But it's the media's job to report on what's happening at training camp. Yeah. Why are you mad at this dude for tweeting it out? I can't get behind that. And then Antonio Brown called out Ed Boucher for tweeting that he limped off the field. You did limp off the field. So, I mean, I don't know what, like, I don't get the point. If somebody is lying on you, it's not access too much. It's training camp. That's the point. That's the point of reporters.
That's the one time where the eyes are supposed to be limited.
And no, they have open training camp. Fans are there.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's the problem.
Limited.
If somebody's in the area and wants to drive to training camp and tweet a fan who has 300 followers, that's one thing. For a news publication to be...
I mean, who gets paid to cover the team?
I know. I stopped when I was talking because it's their job. But still, no, I don't like it.
It's literally their job. They don't work for the team. They work for a publication that covers the team.
Sink ships,
okay,
Joy.
Then don't let any reporters in.
Okay. Yeah, that's not
And if dude's like outside the gate, like, then get mad. But the reporters are in there. You know that people are recording you. You can't get mad at that.
Well, who else are you going to get mad at? Yourself? He's not going to get mad at himself for getting in a fight.
No one cares that he got in a fight. It's not the point. The point is you can't get mad at the media for literally doing their job. If someone's lying on you, fine. I get that. If someone's doing something that lacks integrity, fine. I get that. And I understand the tolerance for media has dropped a lot because of social media. People feel like players sometimes feel like the media doesn't need to exist.
Right.
I promise you it still does. And it's not just because it's my job. Like, you can report on yourself all you want, but you can't be live tweeting out your stats while you're playing.
No.
Somebody got to do that.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be Joe Schmo on Twitter, because I don't know if he did his research. I need the blue check mark, okay? So that's just what it is. Like, that's how it works.
It's true.
So just calm down. All right, what we got in the culture report this week?
Last Friday, Nicki Minaj released Queen, only her fourth studio album and her most rap-oriented album ever. 4 years removed from the Pink Print, Nicki is also usually leaned on her versatility to sell albums, singing and rapping, but this time around, she's leading with bars, and she seems excited about it. Nicki tweeted, "If you rock with me and this album, let's switch our focus back to positive stuff only. I'm so proud of Queen. People would kill to release such a critically acclaimed body of work. I'm in a great mood, and you should be too. To God be the glory." What did you think of her album?
I very much liked it.
It's bar heavy.
It is bar heavy.
I have not liked "I'm just saying I can't handle this moment." I hate all of her pop songs. Hate them. That's why I haven't been.
So you didn't like Bed then?
No.
It's not my favorite song on there either. Although no. I do love Ariana Grande.
Yeah,
Ganja Burns is very good.
Yes, just released a,
I don't know what Eminem is saying in Majesty, so I like the beat, but I don't know what he's saying.
But when do you know
I know it's Eminem because it sounds like Eminem. Yeah. He's like,
you don't do that to a Detroit legend, a rap legend.
I can't understand anything he's saying. Don't pretend like you understand anything he's saying.
You know, you don't understand on first listen. That's like Kendrick you don't understand on first listen. No. Good rappers.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, Barbie Dreams is obviously very good. She comes for everybody, which I love.
Yes.
And then...
The designer was handicapped.
She said a lot of things. Mm-hmm. She said a lot of things. And then Shun Sway is very good also. I like the album.
Yeah, it's good. Do you want to talk about the album art?
No, I don't.
Okay, cool.
All right, what's next?
All right, Insecure, season 3 of HBO's Insecure started on Sunday. The show follows Issa Rae's character through trials and tribulation of being an awkward black girl, shouts out to her YouTube series, navigating relationships with men, friends, and family in the modern day Los Angeles. We love Insecure here on the show. Did you watch the first episode of season 3?
I'm going to.
You didn't watch it?
Because here's the problem. I was going to watch it, and then Earl said he wanted to see the show.
Yeah.
So now I have to rewatch
show. Yeah, that's good, though.
Which I'm fine with.
Yeah. You get the binge when you get season 3.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you can't. The problem is you just, when you live in a household, you can't just start new shows on your own. No, that's not available.
For all the people out here.
That's not how it works.
I can
just be like, oh, this new show. I'm just going to start it.
Right. Like, I remember one time I was watching Last Chance U and Michelle woke up. She said, do I hear that show that we're supposed to be watching together while I'm asleep?
It's a mistake.
Right? I can't watch Last Chance U.
Like, two different people have recommended Snowfall to us, so we're going to start that. But, I can't go home and be like, oh, yeah, I think I'm just going to start Snowfall.
Yeah,
like,
you can't do it. It's
selfish. So I decided to wait on it. But
Eating dinner when your relationship is very important. I have to report when I had food throughout the day.
See you plan if we can your day around
eat
food.
Around the same time.
We plan our day around food and yoga.
Food and yoga, that's good.
Basically.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Anyways, the first episode was like whatever. Okay. Kanye West on Kimmel. Okay. Last Thursday, Kanye stepped out of his hiding to appear on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Kimmel kept it real with Kanye for the most part, while the most viral moment happened in the interview when Kimmel stumped Kanye, calling him out on his support for President Trump. After leaving Kimmel, Kanye got into the studio and recorded a trash track where he admitted that he wanted to smash all four of his sister-in-laws. What's your reaction to Kanye poking his head out and stirring ish up?
I mean...
That's pretty accurate.
So that's what Kanye does. Like,
it's just like, yeah,
I can't get excited about
this. Well, he interviewed him about an album that he put out June 1st. It was like
Kanye.
Kanye's 1st.
Always relevant. That's what it is. It's Kanye. That's how it works. I don't have a problem with it. But I mean, what am I going to react to that? What am I going to say? Kanye.
I mean,
it's Kanye and it's the Kardashians.
I would say there's an interesting part in the interview where he asked, Jimmy Kimmel specifically asked him, does having a daughter change the way that you look at women? And Kanye said, no, I still go on Pornhub. Like, what? Kanye, what? What
we're
are you
still doing?
Doing
Kanye what? We're still doing that?
Yeah. Every time
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing
that. What are you doing?
The Kanye what thing has ended with me. It's just like, oh, that's Kanye.
That's fair.
I'm not getting excited about it anymore.
Okay.
All right. Fun stuff today. Hey. Thanks to Ty Law for joining us.
Yes.
Talking some pigskin. We have a couple announcements.
Mm-hmm.
We are launching our own YouTube page. Right now, we're housed on Undisputed's page.
Yes.
We will be getting our own page very soon.
Yes.
So when we do launch, we hope that you will subscribe to that and share it and leave comments. You must subscribe to it.
Yes, thank you so much.
Or we will find you. Yes. But we would also appreciate it if you just did that.
Right.
And then you can also follow us on all our social media pages at Maybe I'm Crazy Pod.
Okay.
And very big announcement. So
yes.
Football's back, as we know. I play fantasy football. Brandon plays fantasy football. So if you heard that loud noise, that's my shoulder. I'm getting old. It popped.
I thought you hit something.
Yeah, no, it's very loud.
Yeah,
my hip does it too.
That wasn't your elbow?
No, that was my shoulder.
That sounded off.
Yeah, it's still in there. It's just loud. Anyway, we are going to have a Maybe I'm Crazy fantasy football league this year.
Yes.
We want to play with you.
Yes.
Brandon will have his own crappy team that I will beat. I will have my own team.
You
will have your own team.
My crappy
so
team.
So email micpodcast@fox.com.
Yes.
Letting us know. Please give us your full name and where you're from and let us know that you want to play. And we will be picking 10 people at random to play with us. We're going to have a prize. We don't know what it is yet, but we will have a prize.
And it's going
to
be a prize, too.
For the league. So we will give you some more information on that probably next week. But thanks for listening. Make sure you subscribe and share, and we love you. Catch you next time. Maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm not. Ooh.